So we've been talking about following Christ, being like Christ. If we're going to be Christians, ones of Christ, then the ideal is to be like Him. And that old little rubber band thing that you used to put on your wrist and it said WWJD, do you remember those?
Yeah.
What would Jesus do? That was rooted in the idea that we need to be more and more like Jesus. Every step we take, every word that comes out of my mouth, every thought that I think needs to be more and more like Jesus. And it was rooted in a good cause. Unfortunately, it was over-marketized and lost its luster. Either that or people gave up on trying to be like Jesus. I hope not, because this is what He calls us to. And last week we talked about the love element of it. And the teacher of the law comes to Jesus and he says, Jesus, sum up all these laws for us. You know, it's got to be all encompassed in one quick good saying, you know. And he says, there it is. He says, the greatest commandment of all is love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And serve Him only. And then he says, and the second is every bit as important. Love your neighbor as yourself. Right? And then he did this very interesting thing. In the very next sentence, he linked those two as if they were just one law. He linked them together. He was so tricky. He says the first and then the second, but they're really just the same. Because the way you show your love to your Father is by showing love to His people around you. And when I say His people, I mean everybody, not just those who go to church and look like me. Or if you're better looking than me. Or worse looking. Right? And I drew that diagram with the arrow pointing up and the love everybody around you. But the way we show our love to God, He says, you want to show me that you love me, love everybody else around you. And then it gets really difficult. And Jesus is preaching here in the Galilean area. And many of you have heard of the Sermon on the Mount, right? Are you with me? Matthew covers that. Our passage today is in Luke, and this is the Sermon in the Plains. Because this sermon that Jesus is giving is down in the plains area of the Galilean area. And it's really grassy, and there's wildflowers growing all around. The Sea of Galilee's nearby. And it's just this peaceful area. But Jesus, he really introduces a very difficult subject. And he says, love your enemies. And I got to tell you, I have not been very good at this in my life. And it's no real solace to know that neither are you any good at it. I know you. I hear the words that come out of your mouth. That guy. Yesterday, I went over to the Home Depot Circus, and good night. It is just crammed full of people running into you with their carts, and I only had to get three things. And I know my way around Home Depot. You don't need to. I don't ask directions in there. I give directions. I hear people asking, and I see the employees struggling. I'm like, aisle 27 in the back is where you find that. You know, I know my way around, but it was such a madhouse. And I get out, I get in my truck, and I go to leave. And the guy behind me decided to leave at the same time I was and backed into my truck. And I don't know if you know this or not, but I really like my truck. My very first inclination was frustration. And he come out and he said, oh, I didn't see you there. I said, I noticed. And I have to admit, my very first I noticed was not a loving tone. I said, "Do you have insurance?" He says, "Yes." I said, "Okay, get that and I'll take a picture of your card." So he did, and I went to get mine just, you know, that's how you do this. You exchange stuff. And as I was reaching for my card, I had to breathe. My wife teaches me how to breathe sometimes. If you go to her anxiety seminars, that's one of the first things she'll teach you. Breathe. There's lots of ways to breathe. And sometimes I have to breathe just the right way so I can sleep at night to push out all the thoughts in my brain that you people called me about. No, just. But I reached in my truck and I'm looking for my card in the glove box there. "You're okay. You didn't get hurt. He didn't get hurt. Nobody got hurt. Stuff happens. There is a little dent in my truck, and you know what? It's fixable." And as I turned around, he came, and I could see this, like, his countenance was like, oh, just, I said, "You know what? Hey, we're okay. Nobody got hurt. Stuff like this happens all the time. I'm glad you're all right. This is why we carry insurance. It's going to be okay. Thank." And he thanked me. Because for a real short moment there, he counted amongst my enemies. You know, if you mess with my truck, I don't care if you belong to me. If you carry my name, if you mess with my truck, you count amongst enemy territory. Isaac borrowed my truck, and apparently somebody painted the curb red because my tire came back red. He suddenly became enemy territory. I love my son, but listen. But when Jesus talks about loving your enemy, I got to tell you, I read through a whole bunch of commentaries. I listened to sermons, and it covers the gamut here to enemies being, you know, really light acquaintances that you don't care for much, to terrorist acts, to very violent, evil things that people do, to... You know what? The scripture didn't really specify what kind of enemy. It just said enemy. Love your enemy. Now, if my history is right, during the time of Jesus, they were under Roman rule. And if he's talking to Jews, or even the Gentiles in this area, the enemy is the Roman people, who came in, conquered their territory, and then moved into the neighborhood. As if, let's show you now how Romans live, and you're to now act like Romans. They would take the soldiers that had conquered the territory and move them in and build palaces, and then they would tax the people exorbitant amounts of money so that they could build these palaces. For the leaders, they could build these temples for all their foreign gods. And Jesus is talking to these people who are under this new rule. Those were the enemy, now living amongst them, who are now their enemy neighbors. And if you remember last week, if you don't remember last week, go to the website and listen to it, because it was pretty good. I don't mind telling you. It was a pretty good sermon last week. But we talked about the teacher of the law asked, "Who is my neighbor?" Because Jesus said, "And love your neighbors yourself." And the teacher needs to know, okay, how far do my neighbors go? Like, does it extend to the Roman who's two houses down? Because just one house down, I know that guy and he's okay. And then the third house down, he's okay. But the second house, that's the Roman guy and he's my enemy. And Jesus tells a story about the Good Samaritan. Which, by the way, Samaritans were enemies of the Jews too. So Jesus included who your neighbor was. Everybody. Even your enemy. And here we are in the sermon place, is love your enemies. So if you have your Bibles, Luke chapter 6 is where we're at. Now, I thought this was interesting. Jesus starts off, and in some passages it says, Jesus said, and then it goes into this. But to you who are listening, you know what? I read a lot of commentaries, and none of them addressed, but to you who are listening. And I'm wondering, I began to wonder, it's not in the commentary, they're not commenting on it, because it's fairly obvious that when Jesus says, love your neighbors, many of you will stop listening. Because I don't want to love my neighbor, especially the Roman or the tax collector or that guy at work who keeps stealing my stapler. That kid at school who's a bully. That neighbor who came from a different part of the world and we're not so sure about where they stand. That guy who likes Trump or who doesn't like Trump. And then they comment about it on Facebook. I'm just, you know, who is my neighbor? And he says, but to you who are listening, which you have to read into it a little bit, don't you? Somebody's not listening. And quite frankly, and I'm going to overgeneralize here a little bit, so be careful with me. But there's a whole lot of churches who haven't been listening to Jesus out there. And they don't love their neighbors. But to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who what?
Hate you.
Now, Jesus, you're just stepping on toes now, Jesus. Listen, and it's already lunchtime, and none of us brought our lunch but this one kid with some fish and bread. And we already hate him because he was smart enough to bring his lunch. And we weren't. Love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you. What? And pray for those who mistreat you. Now I can get into that last one. Dear Lord, I had a friend who called them Sikkim Psalms. He would pray these like Sikkim Psalms, he called them, on people that he didn't like. And I'm pretty sure that's not what Jesus means here. Dear Lord, help Kevin. Dear Lord, he is never on time. And so Lord, if you could just internalize that clock within him and help him to recognize that other people's time are just as valuable as him, Lord. I'm just picking on Kevin. I'm just picking on him. Don't. The guy who edits the video. Yeah. That's not at all what Jesus means by pray for them, is it? But how many of us do it that way? Oh, Lord, help the president. He needs you in a major way. Well, yes, he does. But not any more than you need him. Jesus, not Trump. dear Lord, help James. He plays that music so loud and it hurts my ears. Listen, love your enemies. I really like Roland. Do you guys know Roland? Now, Roland and I have a bond, a love, and his is much deeper than mine. And I have pretty deep love for sci-fi. But Roland's is technical. And listen, don't write sci-fi and copy somebody else. It's got to be original and good. Otherwise, he won't even waste his time on it. Right, Roland? Am I being fair to you? Now, Roland and I, every once in a while, there'll be a good sci-fi that comes out, and we need to go see it at the theater. And I like taking Roland because he pays once we get there. It's wonderful. But several years back, there was a movie that came out, and Roland and I went to go see it because Roland had read the book. Now, of course, the movie is not anywhere near as good as the book, right? But we saw a movie called Ender's Game. Now, Ender's Game is one of the good original kind of sci-fis that has a different twist. And the premise of this is actually comes from this passage. I'm not sure if the author actually knew it did come from this passage, but the idea of it comes directly from here. Now, this is sci-fi, so you have to give a little leeway here. But in space, an alien race of some sort of insect kind of thing came and was conquering. Now, they're telepathic and they can communicate to each other, and they just kind of just whomped up all over Earth. And they discovered that the secret was that young children's minds were just malleable enough that the alien race could not interpret what they were doing fast enough. So the next war was going to be won by the children of Earth. And the great search goes on to find the one kid who's keen enough, wise enough to be the general, to lead these children into defeating our great enemy out there. Are you with me so far? Are you tracking with me? Ender ends up being this kid, but this kid he's bullied his whole life, but they go through, he begins to get to know the bully so well that he knows how to defeat him. Are you with me? But what ends up happening with Ender is that he gets to know his enemy, this bully that's attacking him and beating on him and all sorts of stuff. He gets to know him so well that he ends up loving him. And it's when he loves him, he knows what the greatest weakness is in his enemy. And every time he wins over the enemy, you see this deep sorrow that comes over his heart because he knew he had to use what he learned to love about them against his enemy. Now, if you listen to me, enough sci-fi. That was good. It was a great sidetrack. And I know you guys love your rabbit trails, but Jesus calls us to be like him. And somehow, while we were still enemies, Jesus gave his life for us. And the only way Jesus gave his life for us is through his love for us, while we were still his enemy. And when Jesus calls us to be like him, that includes the enemies in our lives. Love our enemies. You need to learn to love those who are persecuting you. Learn to love those who hate you. Learn to love those who hurt you. And I got to tell you, I don't think any of us are any good at this, to be honest with you. I'm not special either. this is hard for me to do. I have been betrayed by people I loved dearly. And my first inclination can't be the one that wins out. I've been hurt by truly evil people and carried the guilt around with me for years of my life because of what somebody did to me. And these are the ones that God calls us to love. And I'm thinking to myself, listen, Lord, I don't think you understand. Except he does. Except that he does. Now, we ought to just define love a little bit here. You know, in the Greek language, we have in English language, we have one word, love. And it means all those things about love, right? We just say love, and it means, you know, like 10,000 love songs out there, which talk about the shape of your body or whatever. You know, this passionate, eros sort of goopy, schmoopy love, right? That's one type of love, but we say love, and in the Greek, that's the eros kind of love, that love that a man has for a woman when he sees her walk by and his heart just weak in the knees, shiver me timbers. I still have that love for my wife. She is fantastic. And I don't even mind going, hey, do you know who my wife is? Have you seen her lately? So that's not the kind of love Jesus is talking about in here. That's one type of love, but that's not the kind that Jesus is talking about. Then there's that phileo love, that brotherly love, that kind of love I do have for Kevin and can tease him in a sermon. And he knows I love and care for him. That kind of love I have for James. The kind of love I have for you, where you call me, I'll go out of my way for you. He's not quite talking about that either. What he's talking about is an agape sort of love. And the agape love is a description of active, listen, active feeling of benevolence toward another person. So you're active, doing, actively participating in seeing the best good for another person. The best good. And you know what? I'm okay with that with you guys. But the one that betrayed me, I'm not so sure I want to actively seek their best good. But that's what Jesus is calling for here. Matter of fact, I'd be just good if you just moved right on along. That would be best for both of us. Because then I don't have to stir up any feelings whenever I see you. If you just moved along, then I could love you from a distance. Which means I never have to think about you again. Right? Are you with me though? That's the easiest way to handle this, because if I never have to think about you again, then I don't have those feelings which I have to go and leave at the altar again and again and again and again and again. You guys laugh because you are with me, aren't you? Matter of fact, you hurt my feelings so good, I'm going to be the one that walks away and goes, so, take that, right? And that's what happens all the time, isn't it? After all, just look in your own church. Who's not sitting you who was here a year ago? Because you said something stupid. Or I said something stupid. Or we did something that they didn't think ought to be had done. Or... And it's good that they're gone, because then we don't have to actually deal with them. Right? That's much, much better. Except that's not what Jesus calls us to be like. And if we're going to be Christians, and we're going to say that we're Christians, and we're going to be like the Christ, then we have to be like the Christ. Which means that person that hurt me, I still have to love them and seek for their best good. Ouch. Jesus. And that, no, I'm saying that to Jesus. No. Really, Jesus? He said, yeah. Why? Because this is what I am doing for you, he says. Because I'm heading to the cross where I will give my life for your best good. Well, if someone slaps you on the cheek, turn to them the other also. If someone slaps you on the cheek, turn to them the other also. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them. What? Give to everyone who asks you, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. Do you know that it was this passage that this sermon, this speech, this talking to, this sermon on the plain that really got the Pharisees and the Sadducees so agitated at Jesus that they began to work towards his death? And I got to tell you, I've heard a lot of people say a lot of things. I've read a lot of books where I left a lot of stuff in the book. You know, that's the sign of maturing, by the way. That when you read a book, you can leave the stuff that doesn't need to come out of it in the book. And you can take the good stuff with you. And I'm not talking about the Bible. I'm talking about other books. Because the stuff in the Bible, you need to take all that with you. But it was this kind of thing where Jesus really put them on edge. Because, by the way, this do unto others as you would have them do unto you is not, it's only shifted slightly from several of the thinkers of that age. Socrates and there was a Jewish thinker, and there was in all the different commentaries, there's at least half a dozen of them that had sayings like this. But it was said in a way that if anyone does something that angers you, don't do that to them. Right? You know, if somebody does something and it hurts your feelings, or it makes you angry or whatever, don't turn around and do that to them. That was very common back then, except Jesus shifts it a little bit here. And he shifts it from the negative sense, that don't do, to the positive sense. Do to others the way you would like them to be treated to you. So don't wait to not treat people a certain way. He says, be active, be positive in the way that you treat others. And so this way of being like the Christ is in a sense a positive, in that we are actively doing good. We're not doing bad things. We're doing the good things. Do you see the difference? Have I thoroughly confused anyone yet? So you're tracking with me, like train tracks. You're tracking with me. Listen. Being like the Christ means that you actively participate in doing good to others. Doing good in such a way that you do it the way you would like to be treated. There's all sorts of ways I would not like to be treated. But this is different in such a way that we are actively doing good. We're supposed to act positive out in the world so the rest of the world knows who we are by the way we love. It's our love for others that is active and positive and doing that causes them to recognize, hey, that's different. And it's an agape love. And then all this in here has to do with like doing extra. Doing the extra thing, which is also in an active sense. Christians can't be lazy. Sorry. Yesterday, I wanted an app all day long, and I never got one. But Jesus calls on us, the Christ calls on us to be actively doing in the world and not just doing ready, okay stuff, but being doing the extra thing, going the extra mile. And every one of these things here is a don't just do what everybody else does. Do the extra thing. Go above and beyond. So that you are seen and heard and known for your love. And do those things in love, not just out of anger. When I was a kid, I heard a sermon on this passage, and they had somehow changed the whole thing that when you do this extra thing, you're giving it back to them. You know what? That's not at all the sense with which Jesus is talking here. It made me feel good to hear that sermon. I liked it better than this one, to be honest with you. Oh, yeah? You're going to slap me on the cheek? I'm going to show you by giving you my other cheek. And it's an I'm going to show you attitude. That's not at all the spirit with which Jesus is talking here. But that's the spirit with which I would prefer to hear it. Except that's not what Jesus is calling me to do. He's calling me to give love that's above and beyond so that I seek out your best good, even when you hurt me. But the truth is, when you seek out somebody's best good in their life, something's going to happen. Something's going to change in them. You've seen it where somebody has gone to the bully and helped them succeed. When I was in high school, Tolleson Union High School, I had a drafting class. I loved drafting class. Blueprints, mechanical blueprints, housing. I really loved houses, and I almost went to architectural school. Almost. But there was one kid who had a beard and a mustache already. And he called me Rulers. That was his best nickname he could think of for me. And by the way, back then, back in the 90s, Tolleson was a farming community. And I was one of only three white kids there at the school. And I got to go because my dad taught there. And I was good at the architecture stuff, and I got straight A's in that class. One of the few classes I got straight A's in. But he called me Rulers. But it didn't click in his head what was going on in this class. Things weren't. And hear me in a good spirit. Be agape with me here. There were a lot of things that didn't click in his head. And so he used his girth, and he was a big kid, to be the bully, because he was good at that at least. And he picked me out. And listen, I was not always this good. Please don't get me wrong here. But I figured out that I actually helped him with his next assignment. And he got an A on that assignment because I helped him. And next thing you know, he quit picking on me but would stand next to me. And the other kids wouldn't pick on me either because he was bigger than all the other kids. I'm sure he was much older than the high school age allotment. I mean, full beard, like Javon's beard, like. But can you see how the love, all I did was turn around. I knew that he didn't do well. And I got to be honest with you, it had to be the Holy Spirit or something in me. It really had to be. But I helped him, and it changed his spirit towards me. See, that's what love does. Real love can actually change the negative to a positive. I was able to see his hurt and help it. And when you begin to love your enemies, you begin to see the hurt or the pain or the reason for their bullishness or whatever it is. See, if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Now listen, Dave Ramsey is going to have a real hard time with this passage. Right? Matter of fact, I have listened to Dave Ramsey an awful lot. He's on the radio in the afternoon. He's on the same radio station late in the evening. I've never heard him talk about this one. Except, well, that's not true. He says, if you're going to give money to somebody, you're giving it. Don't expect to get repaid. He says, but love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, because He is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. So why do we do good? What's the motivation to be good to these people who are evil to us, or betray us, or bully us, or take our things, or run into our pickup trucks, or... What's the motivation? There is no greater calling. There is no higher calling than to be like the Christ. And when you do good, and you lend, and you do all these things, you are becoming more and more like the Christ. And there is no greater calling. There is no better thing than you can be than to be more and more like Christ in everything you do. In everything you say, and everything, in every way that you act and react to people in the world. Now listen, don't be stupid about this. Is it okay that I said that? Did I hurt anybody's feelings? Do good to me. Love on me. Listen, don't put yourself in situations, oh, I'm gonna earn this deal. There's no need for that. Because there's plenty of trouble that comes. For tomorrow has enough trouble of its own, the scripture says. Stuff is going to come. You don't have to go out seeking for it. Some of you do. And just give that up, really. Just stop doing that. I got one last story, and I'm pretty sure I haven't done this well. But I certainly am convicted about it. I know a guy who is not good to his family. He's verbally abusive, physically abusive sometimes, controlling, demanding, just downright ugly. And the way he treats his wife is just aggravating to me. I'd like to punch him in the nose. That's my, you know. But for some reason, he's in my life. He's not the kind of person to listen to a lecture or any sort of talk. You guys know this kind of person, right? You guys are familiar with this kind of, maybe you have somebody like that in your life, right? Who's always controlling, always demanding, it all, always has to be right, no matter how wrong they are. And I got to tell you, calling him a jerk or a loser or a wife hater or a racist pig or whatever you want to, whatever things, instead of calling him that, because none of that changes that person, no matter how true it is. Somehow, this person who's in my life, somehow I have to show what love is really like. By my words, by my deeds, by my actions, by the way I treat my wife and my children, by admitting I'm wrong when I am wrong, and showing them it's okay for that. Asking for forgiveness, even when this is not the person to be giving forgiveness and won't give it, they'd rather hold that grudge or whatever it is. But somehow love wins. Love always wins. I mean, listen, true love, the love that God calls us to be like, this agape love, true love always wins. This is what Martin Luther King called, live out a love life. Even though the white man hates the black man, you show love to him. And that's how it's gonna. We're going to win this, is what he said. He said it way better than I ever did. I mean, he's got great speeches. But you know what the center of his speeches are? Love. I have relationships today because he had the boldness to stand up and say, we're going to love each other. We're not going to return violence for violence. We're not going to return hate for hate. What wins is love. Love wins. And so I started off with the idea of there's some really vile people in the world. And I wonder, who is it that you hate? I mean, really, who is it that you really, really hate? I mean, if you spent a moment to think, just think about who it is that you just is the most vile evil in the world. Who is it that you hate? We could all, I think, pause for a minute and pick somebody out. Whether we know them personally or don't know them at all, they live across the sea in the Middle East somewhere or whatever it is. Whatever it is. God calls us to be different. God calls us to be like the Christ who says, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. And I got to tell you, this has got to be the hardest passage I've seen in Scripture. It's got to be the hardest passage I've seen in Scripture. But I've dedicated my life to be a Christian, to be one who belongs to the Christ. And if I'm going to call myself a Christian, then I better start looking like the Christ. Which means I ask the question, in this situation, what would Jesus do? In this situation where I am hated, spat upon, mocked, beaten, what would Jesus do? And what did he do? He was on the cross, he was beaten, crown of thorns on his head, nailed there, and he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And he was saying it to me, Father, forgive Brian, for he doesn't know what he's doing. For you have mercy to give. God is a God of mercy, and it's that mercy with which we have to find in ourselves that is a gift from God alone, empowered to us by the Holy Spirit, that we can then give mercy out to those that we hate. And hate then turns to love, and that can change the world.